On this edition of Across College Lacrosse, Merrimack taking center stage today after formally announcing their move to Division I in the Northeast Conference. NEC Commissioner Noreen Morris was there. President Hopi was there. I got a chance to talk to women's head coach Julie Duffy and men's lacrosse head coach and defending national champion Mike Morgan on the move, how it'll affect recruiting, scheduling, the whole shebang. And we even get Morgan's thoughts on the new shot clock rule as well. It is another edition of Across College Lacrosse. Hey, wouldn't really call it a return, but the song has Mac in it, and it's a fantastic jam. It is episode number 30 of Across College Lacrosse, and I am your host, as always, Chris Dostremski. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, not yet. That's still really tough to do. Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcasts from, maybe even Spotify, too. Today's episode is all about the Mac, Merrimack, announcing their move to Division I and the NEC specifically. They had a nice little ceremony at 11:30 on their campus today in North Andover, Massachusetts. And present there were all the Merrimack teams, men's and women's lacrosse as well. Specifically, that's what we're going to focus on this episode. Julie Duffy and Mike Morgan will be along to discuss the move and what it'll mean for their programs overall in the near future. Quickly first, they do have a new shot clock rule in men's lacrosse. 80 seconds starting on possession. Still have a 20-second clear across midfield or, I believe, in the offensive restraining box for faceoffs. I like the rule. Now teams can see the clearing clock, and I think Coach Morgan will go into this a little bit more. He likes it as well. He was big on, I believe, the shot clock. I think 90 seconds, too. It's a great thing. Julie Duffy actually mentioned this too, that she liked the 90-second shot clock and how it's improved the sport. A lot of the things improved the sport as well, including the self-starts and whatever. But we have a lot of nice content for you. Let's go right into it. We'll start off with women's lacrosse head coach Julie Duffy. She's entering her third year at the helm, leading her Warriors to the NE10 semifinals. They lost to Adelphi last year, but bigger and brighter things are ahead for the program. Then we'll go right into men's lacrosse head coach Mike Morgan and his interview. If you're going to want to go to his interview, there's a time code on our website, collegelacrosse.com. Make sure you check that site out, too. We have a bunch of content from the other 73 Division I schools. Year in review, schedules, you name it. That's the place to be. Even if we get some things wrong, get blasted on it on Twitter anonymously. Please check that site out. Without further ado, let's go. Julie Duffy, you're first. Sitting down now is third-year head coach of the women's program, Julie Duffy. And, Coach, congratulations on the big day.
Thank you.
Your initial thoughts on the move to Division I for the school itself?
Yeah, we're super excited about it for the school. I think this is a great opportunity to get better as an overall institution. And it's a great place for all of our sports to be.
How have the current players on your team reacted when the news came around on Monday?
I think everyone's really excited about it. We're at the top of the NE10, which in women's lacrosse is one of the best conferences out there, and one of the best D2 conferences overall. And our athletes have a mindset to be elite. And I think that there's not much nervousness in going because they know what it takes. And everyone's really excited, from our current players to our incoming kids.
For a program like this, going to the NE10 semifinals last year and losing to Adelphi was really good. But for the program overall, how do you think this will affect this move?
I think it'll be great for the program. I think Merrimack's doing a lot as an institution to attract really high quality student athletes. And I think that we can come in and be competitive in the NEC just like we are in the NE10, which is what we want to do. As women's lacrosse, we're personally excited because it gives us a bigger opportunity for the NCAA tournament. Division II is a much smaller pool, It's a much smaller number going. And I just think this creates more opportunity in the future for postseason chances.
How long was the process for deciding to want to move to D1? I'm not sure if you were involved, but if you could give a little bit of stuff and also join the NEC.
Yeah, I was involved. This is just year three for us. But as Jeremy Gibson said today, this has been a 5-year process, easily in the making. President Hopi's a really smart guy and had a vision when he came here in 2011, and this was part of that vision. So it's definitely been a process, but we're happy that it's finally been made and we get to say that we're going Division One.
Speaking of Division One, what are you excited about personally, the moving to Division One?
To me, it's opportunity. It's opportunity to experience something different. It's opportunity to play new teams. And it's, Division Two has been great to our program here at Merrimack. It's been great to my assistants that have come through our doors. And it's been great to me. I've been a part of Division Two for almost 8 years now, and it's been amazing, but excited to also move to the Division One world.
You have plenty of high school recruits that you probably have talked to earlier that you were promising, a Division Two Merrimack, but now you guys are going to go to Division One. What have you said to those new recruits about the move, if any yet?
I mean, I think there's been a lot of talk in the lacrosse world over the last 2 years of Merrimack going Division One. Really initiated by outside sources. So I think even talking to the last couple of recruiting classes, people have known that that's something that we've been aiming to do. We wouldn't be where we are with our program if we were not recruiting athletes that had the ability to play in the NEC conference. So they're all really excited. It's been a fun week of emails and congratulations, and we're excited. And I think that's happened, not only with the current 2019 class that we're working with, but with the future as well.
Now, as a coach, you always are in charge of recruiting, as I mentioned, but is your approach to recruiting going to be changing? We know you're competing with Lemoyne and Adelphi now and a few others, but now BU, BC, UMass Lowell now all in this mix. Are you going to change your approach to recruiting now that you have to recruit against Division One schools?
Our approach is always first and foremost what's going to fit into our program the best. I think now it opens up a different pool of student athletes that really just were solely looking at Division One, that now we are in that mix for. But to us, it's about talent. It's about finding the kid that's going to work in our system, work with our coaching staff, work with our program, that just wants to be elite. And if we can find those kids, we'll be good to go and compete against who we need to compete against.
Were you originally recruiting against those schools anyways as Division II and Division III just in the area?
Yeah. I would say that, minus the NESCACs, which I think everyone in the area runs into. We were originally recruiting against MAC schools and NEC schools. That was our biggest competition versus we didn't really have much crossover with any 10 schools. That's awesome. And that's where we kind of go back to, we've been setting ourselves up, knowing that when I got this job, that was a future, and also knowing that if we want to be at the top of the NE10, those are the type of people we have. Lemoyne kids could go anywhere. Adelphi kids could go anywhere. That's why they're so good. But they chose Division II, that's kind of what we were selling before, is the choice of Division II. Now we get to choose Division One. So it's now that pool that you get to choose from instead, and we're excited about it.
Now when you're going to have to recruit some new kids along the way, or along this 4-year wait period, how will you alter your pitch to new recruits and incoming players, knowing that the team won't be able to compete in the NEC tournament and the NCAA tournament after this season and until 2024?
Yeah. It's about what we're doing in the season. It's about being at the top. And that's our pitch. Our goal by the time, that 2020 high school class that we're recruiting right now becomes seniors, that would be our first year to be eligible. And it's about building to that future. And that by the time that we get there, there's no ifs, ands, or buts that we have the opportunity to go to NCAAs. You know, just like, you know, the five-year goal as a Division II as we came in was to get to NCAAs, and we've been inching closer the last two seasons. You know, and if we can end that note and finish trying to be in one of those seats, I think that's a great opportunity for us. You know, but it's – and then it's also selling Merrimack. You know, at the end of the day, this is a four-year education for them. And lacrosse is an awesome, awesome benefit that they get to have. But we believe in what President Hopi has given us to work with, and with or without the opportunity to go to NCAAs, to be able to sit there and say we're at the top of the NEC will be an awesome opportunity once we get there.
Is culture going to be a big part of this little transition, just setting up the culture for Division I, or at least keeping the culture you have now and just transitioning to a new division?
Yeah, I think it's keeping the culture we have now and transitioning to a new division. We have a phenomenal culture at Merrimack. Our girls are great. They put in a lot of work. They want to be the best. And that's been hard work over the last three seasons of this team getting there. And I think it's just continuing to bring in those high caliber kids that continue to elevate us each year. But from everything, from our strength staff here at Merrimack to our professors, they expect the best of the best of our student athletes. I don't think that's going to change. And I think it's great.
One of the things we've heard a lot about, the strengths and how like the school has grown, but in your eyes, any difficulties you see into moving to Division I starting the next 4 years?
No, I think it's a great opportunity. Again, we've been setting ourselves up. Jeremy's done a great job. We have full faith in Jeremy's process and where we're going with this. And I think it's a great jump. I think it separates us from a lot of the competition in this area, where we're still a small school with good academics. And we're in a nice niche of the country. You know, being as close as we are to Boston, it's an awesome opportunity for us to get away from Bentley and Stonehill and St. A's and SNU that are all very similar institutions to us. I think it allows us to be a slightly different recruiting niche now. So it should help us, I think.
And then today, after today, what do you want people to know about Merrimack, the school?
I want people to know that we're here, we're ready to take everything on, and we're super excited about the opportunity, and super grateful to our leadership here that they saw this vision and were able to make it happen, and that they're not just stopping at getting the bid. You know, they're committed to making this be, you know, top notch, and we're excited for that opportunity.
All right, women's head coach Julie Duffy entering her third year at the helm of Merrimack, and coach, thank you for your time and best of luck.
Thank you very much. Go Mac.
Sitting with me right now is Merrimack men's lacrosse head coach entering his 12th year as the leader of the Warriors, Mike Morgan. And coach, we see a nice little mini trophy of your national championship this past year. Big few months for you guys. The national championship, the announcement today, your initial thoughts on the move to Division I in the NEC?
That's exciting. I mean, you know, coming off last season, you know, and it's been a whirlwind, obviously, you know, you have the championship game and then, you know, you're at the State House and then you're, you know, throwing the first pitch out at Fenway and homecoming, you know, is coming up. We get our rings and it'll be a great celebration of last year. And you know, as a coach and our program and the way we've always been culture wise, we're moving on as quick as possible for this, you know, for this season and keep our focus on that. But yeah, it's been a you know, great run last year, and we're just getting the guys prepped for this year. And then obviously with the Division I announcement, it adds a new element of, you know, structure to what we're looking at moving forward. It doesn't change a whole lot, I don't think, the way we run things here, but I think it does obviously change some things with a little bit of recruiting and obviously scheduling. So we're juggling them all on the back end and kind of keeping the guys focused on the field for the season.
Before we continue, when you threw that first pitch, were you a little bit nervous preparing or...
I said to someone the other day, it's probably one of the top one or two moments in my life that I was probably the most nervous. And it's funny because I would have thrown it out in front of 400,000 people and been less nervous than throwing it out in front of those 44 guys behind me. I think that was the, with all their cameras out. And I think they knew it was going to go one way or the other. Either they were going to have, you know, film on me forever to bust my chops and it'd be circulating, or, you know, it'd be like, you know, that vote of confidence and a head nod, like, wow, coach put that thing down the middle. So it was nerve wracking, but it was, you know, a once in a lifetime experience.
Obviously, and hopefully you guys can be able to do that again come May June, July, whatever.
That's what we're hoping. I will not be throwing it out though. Will someone else? I'm quitting while I'm ahead.
Nice. So the current players, how have they reacted to the news so far?
They're excited. You know, the upperclassmen, you know, they obviously have a national championship and, you know, they're going to chase another one this year and know how hard that was to do last year and trying to replicate that. And, you know, the younger guys, you know, a freshman in particular, you know, they look at this as their, you know, last opportunity or only opportunity now to win a national championship, you know? So I think it as we had said before, it turns them into seniors, you know, it turns your freshmen, you know, to a new level of urgency where, you know, maybe it's, you know, more focus, it's being more committed, the stuff that maybe as a freshman you don't naturally know yet. I think now it kind of forces those guys, and I think it helps us. I mean, you know, it gives us more incentive to know that, hey, this is it, you know? And I think the news of moving forward, our guys are excited. I mean, we scrimmage 3 or 4 Division Ones every year, you know, probably for the last 6 or 7 years. So I think that confidence of knowing that they do well in those scrimmages, you know, and compete against some really high-level teams, you know, like Yale and BU and those teams. And, you know, it keeps them, I think, you know, pretty confident moving forward and excited. You know, it's definitely it's a new phase, but I think they're embracing it.
What do you think this will do for the program overall?
I think what it does is it spotlights areas of the country that we've wanted to get into that I don't think we've been able to. I think, you know, Division One, you know, there's programs out there, you know, whether it be Long Island or Maryland, where the kids are high academic and they're extremely good lacrosse players and they end up in that top 15, you know. And I think being very good, you know, at the Division II level, I think allowed us to compete with, you know, the middle to middle high Division I in terms of, you know, those players. But I think it was just, you know, somewhat impossible to recruit the kids that are top 15 talent. And I think going Division I, you know, puts us in a position where now those conversations start. I think, you know, now the reputation we've built here and the successes we've had, and I think the culture we've built, I think is known throughout the lacrosse community. I think now coaches that are at these programs, you know, are certainly going to, you know, send kids this way. And I think it opens up a new recruiting, you know, areas, I guess, but also level of play. I mean, we're getting Division I kids now, obviously, but I think, you know, that top tier kid, you know, is going to start looking here. I think the academics, the location, the competitiveness, I think it's a great recipe for recruiting.
How long was this process? I'm not sure. I know President Hopi was talking about this a lot during the actual ceremony, but how long was this process for deciding, you know, you want to move to Division I and join the NDC? You've been here for 12 years, so you've been through the entire Hopi administration, and was it something spearheaded by one or two coaches? I know Hopi mentioned it was pretty much his idea to go be a Division I team come whenever.
Yeah, I think the first time was, yeah, I want to say it was about 5 years ago when you know, I was, you know, working internally here and, you know, obviously knowing kind of what we were looking at. And in those days, you know, it was more of a, you know, figuring out if it made sense for the college. You know, I know Lemoyne had done that a few years ago, and then they brought baseball and women's lacrosse back to D2, you know, from D1. So, you know, it didn't mean in my eyes, like, that we were, you know, we definitely knew we were going. I know Coach, you know, Chris Hopi and Jeremy and, you know, Dean O'Keefe, who was here as the AD, as interim, everybody, I think, wanted it because I think it's great for the school, great for the programs. But I think it was so long ago that, you know, we really didn't know what it would entail. And then, you know, over those course of those years, you hear, you know, oh, we're going, oh, we're not going, oh, the NEC wants us, the NEC doesn't want us, or it's the MAC. And, you know, you hear this for long enough, over 5 years, you know, you're just like, well, you just kind of, you know, zone out and just stay focused on the day-to-day. And if it happens, it happens. And then, you know, all of a sudden, one morning you get an email at 8 a.m. saying there's a 10:30 staff meeting, and, you know, you kind of know that, you know, Jeremy's a very structured and smart guy, and we just were like, well, that usually he doesn't call meetings that are two hours or 2.5 hours after you get the email. So we, I think, had a feeling that that was going to be the announcement, and then when you go in there and you see President Hopi, you kind of knew. So that's when the reality hit. But I mean, our guys and our coaches and everybody here has been, I think, bracing for this for a little while in different ways. So it wasn't, you know, total chaos when it happened. I think everybody was somewhat prepared for it.
What's something you're excited personally about moving to Division One?
Excited to play in some of the venues. I mean, something I was thinking about last night, there's obviously, you know, being excited to play some of these top level teams or being able to be on Nesson, you know, on TV up here, or, you know, there's obviously tons of things, the coverage, even as, you know, as small as being on the scroll on ESPN, you know, I mean, like little things like that you don't think of. But I think, you know, thinking about some of the venues, you know, going out to, you know, playing Ann Arbor or going out to play in South Bend or you know, or just, you know, thinking about all these different, you know, historic stadiums and you know, going up against these coaches that, you know, I grew up watching as a kid, you know, and now all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to be coaching against them, you know. So I think that's something that is exciting, you know, and for someone who's been doing this for a while, you know, you basically have, I guess, the same challenges every year, and this opens up some new challenges that, you know, I'm excited to take on.
Recruiting's going to be a big part of this, and especially for the next 4 years, but what have you said to the kids that you said that you're going to come to the Division II Merrimack, knowing that now you're Division I? You're going to be a Division I program.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, kids are, you know, they're very smart and they're media savvy, and it's been talked about Merrimack going to Division I, so it's not like we haven't fielded that question. And what I've always told them is, you know, we're recruiting the same guy if we're the best team in Division II or if we're middle of the pack in Division I for the most part. So, you know, it doesn't mean you're a D2 recruit if you come here, you know, and I think certainly these guys had, you know, I'd say that probably three quarters of every class had Division I offers that they turned down to come here. So I think that's something that, you know, they knew that coming in, but yeah, it changes. You know, the goal of a national championship is for this class, you know, obviously that's here for freshman year this year, these guys who just came in. But moving forward, I think the goals change. The goals turn into, you know, our goal is to win the regular season in the NEC, or our goal is to be a top 25 team, or our goal is to beat, you know, a top 10 team on the road or whatever it may be. But I think, you know, Agar certainly, you know, came here and they're very confident guys who want to win and get after us. I don't think they're going to be, you know, going into Division I by, you know, dipping their toe in the water. I think these guys are certainly hungry and they know they can play at that level. So I think, you know, while they have a lot of respect for the programs we're going to play, the coaches we're going to see, I think they have a lot of confidence in themselves and in our staff and our program.
Will you change your approach to recruiting now that you're going to be a Division I team? And is it tougher now that you're going to be able to compete with the likes of BU and Yale and Bryan and UMass Lowell and all these other New England schools? Or has that been the case ever since you were the head coach, considering the fact that you are in this New England area?
Yeah, I mean, we run into, I mean, almost every one of our kids, like the kids like I mentioned, are looking at, talking to, or being offered by Division I schools. You know, I think the one thing that differentiates us from, I guess, more of the local schools is we're just very different in terms of the college and the way it's set up. I mean, if you look at BU or Lowell or whatnot, you know, it's more city, more big buildings, more, you know, 25,000 kids. You know, Merrimack is, you know, 3,500. It's a, you know, we're in a nice college town, you know, outside of the city. You know, academically, the classes are smaller. So, you know, we'll run into those programs because I think just regionally, you know, we butt up against them. But the schools are very different, you know, and I think kids have very different opinions of what they want in terms of class size, you know, obviously university size, location. Meanwhile, across, you know, wise, we'll be very comparable to a lot of these teams. I'd like to think, you know, once we go in a couple of years, and then, you know, I think we find our niche, you know, we find our niche, which may be the same as now. It may be a decent amount of the top New England kids, and then you get all the kids from upstate, you know, down to Jersey, Virginia Beach, and then we've always done well nationally even now, and I expect that to go to the next level. I mean, we get kids from Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, Colorado, Oregon, Florida, you know, Delaware. I mean, you can go down the list. So, like, if we're doing that, I think as a Division II team and bringing in those top talent from those areas, I think it really opens those doors when we go to Division I to really recruit even more nationally than we were before. I mean, we just got a Torrey Pines commit the other day. I can't mention my name, but we have someone who's coming here from a school like that, which is, you know, which is obviously says a lot. They were third in the country last year. So I think, you know, we were getting that attention as a very good Division II team, and now, you know, you get that label as Division I team, and I think, you know, it opens up some doors for, you know, for sure.
You've mentioned the kids that you have already, 2019 class, starting the 2020s, but what about the future classes, and how will you alter your pitch knowing that, you know, most of their tenure here, maybe they won't be able to play in postseason or 3 years or, you know, a couple of years, whatever. How will you alter your pitch for those kind of guys that are knowing that you're going to play Division I, but you're going to give away postseason experience?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've gone to the approach that, you know what, I think there's more pluses than minuses with that. You know, I mean, yes, you can't play in your conference tournament. But at the end of the day, I think we're a unique team going to Division I, where I think we can be very competitive right away. And I look at it and say, you know, to those recruits, you know, guess what? All right, you can't go to the tournament for, you know, maybe two or three of your years here. But we're going to go play at Yale, or we're going to go play at Michigan, or we're going to go play on TV. We're going to be, you know, fighting to be a top 25 team. And as ambitious as that sounds, I think that's what we've always been here. And I think you have to be that, you know. So I think, you know, kids will make the decision, you know, do they want to, you know, obviously, you know, buy into that vision and everything we have here. And obviously they got to love the school and the academics are top notch. I think that all plays in. And I think that's only one small hurdle. I think people you know, certainly focus on that. I think we're not focusing on it because I think it is obviously a hurdle. But I look at all the pluses of what our program brings and our school brings, and I look at that and think, you know, if your kids out there, you got to be excited about this brand new program going to Division One that has had, you know, obviously a lot of success, I think. And then last year certainly, you know, stamped that with, you know, the performances we had down the stretch and on the season and the level of kids we're getting. And you'd be excited to come to a great school to play for that team and then go out and challenge these top 25 teams. And I think that's something that we're all embracing. And I think, you know, there's certainly, I would think, a good percentage of recruits out there that that's what they're looking for.
Going back to the D1 aspect for your team, BU, you've scrimmaged, mentioned Marist this fall. Yale, you've had a nice history with, 13-8 scrimmage last year in four quarters. We've known that whole relationship with you and Andy Shea and even John Rabba at Wesley in Division III, all winners of the national championships last year. Have you gotten any, like, reactions from other coaches? Shea, I know you're good buddies with Ryan Poley, about this move and what to prepare for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we got a lot of guys like Greg Canella, who's, you know, obviously a guy I've known and respect for a while, and he's you know, he's a guy in the industry I think does a great job, and he's, you know, the coach who coached one of our assistants, you know, Kyle Smith, and, you know, he was texting with him the other day, and I think all these guys, Andy texted me and Ryan, and, you know, I think they're excited, you know, for Merrimack and for me, and I think, you know, they've been very complimentary, you know, after these scrimmages we played, and I think they're, you know, they've kind of look at the squad we have and they're like, these guys are good, you know. And I think that's something when you can, you know, when Andy said that last year, you know, it kind of, you know, I guess really put in perspective that, like, here's a team that, you know, was I think 3 at the time preseason, and they go on and they dominate, you know, and win it. You know, if he thinks our team's pretty good, you know, then I think, you know, we look at our Division I transition, and even though it will be, you know, challenging at times, you know, there's a lot of optimism, and I think those guys are excited to see another regional team that they can play that's going to be, you know, a close game, you know, in terms of, you know, the location and the distance to travel, and then hopefully a close game in terms of, you know, the final, you know. And I think that's something where, with the successes we've had in these scrimmages where, you know, we've played their starters versus our starters, and, you know, we leave feeling pretty confident in some of these games. You know, it helps the transition, because I think recruits see that, you know, they talk to their friends who play on these different teams, and it makes the sell to, hey, come to Merrimack because we're going to be really good, you know, whether it be year one or year two or three, whatever. And I think it adds some legitimacy to that.
Looking a little bit forward to this season, not too much ahead, but just to upcoming 2019, defending national champions, NE10, one of the more dominant conferences, not only in Division II, but you could even say all of college lacrosse, really. Lemoyne in there, Adelphi, and then even with, you know, St. Leo down south and Limestone. Is it going to be bittersweet for you guys to leave Division II, and how would you look at this season upcoming with, you know, Lemoyne being back and Adelphi and a few others as well?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of questions during the summer. You know, you win one for the first time, and you start to, you know, think about, all right, well, you know, are they going to take their foot off the pedal? You know, is anything going to change? Will the success, you know, get to their head? And you start thinking about all those things and what you got to do as a coach to keep them focused. And, you know, I got back here on Labor Day and, you know, just getting a few hours in, you know, like 3 or 4 hours in the office, just trying to, you know, get some things together. And I looked out the field and there was about 12 of them out there. It's 95 degrees out. They're shooting, you know, they're in some stick drills and, you know, they're getting after it. Face-off guys are getting after it, you know. And about 5 hours later, I leave and, you know, I see Charlie Bertrand and Sean Black, you know, two of our best players, you know, on the wall, you know, dripping sweat, you know, on Labor Day, moving to, I mean, so that tells you right away. I kind of knew what we'd be when we came back this year. They'd be hungry and they'd want to go after it again. But I think that day kind of solidified that I think we got a great group here. And I think, you know, yeah, it'll be bittersweet. I mean, you build something. I think, you know, it took a while. And I think guys, you know, guys like Ryan and you know, Frank Alloy from back when I played, they did a great job of helping build this thing. And, you know, seeing the success all kind of pay off last year with our guys and finally getting that title. And, you know, we'd gotten closer every year, you know, and then we finally got there and I thought did a pretty good job. And, you know, you think about, wow, we could do this for a while in Division II, you know, and have that success. And we've kind of built this culture. But, you know, going to Division I, it adds another great challenge. I think these guys are ready for it. And this year will be, you know, I think we've added urgency to a team that I think already had a lot of urgency coming in this year. You know, you're freshmen now. This is their last and only chance to win it, like we said, you know, and now they become seniors almost, you know, and they'll have that urgency and that work ethic. And then you got a great group returning and a battle-tested group. And, you know, you got almost 300 points back at attack and the player of the year and leading scorer in the NE10 and, you know, great players on defense. It was the third best defense in the country last year. I mean, it's we got a lot going for us. And I think, you know, if the guys stay humble and they keep working hard like they've been and they stay hungry, yeah, it's a great conference. I mean, you know, Delphi, Lemoyne, obviously St. A's and then Pace and all those guys, you know, go down the list. I mean, there's a lot of tough games to be had. And, you know, obviously they're going to be out to get us as the national champs. But our guys, I mean, the reputation they've had and just the way they carry themselves is they're relentless, and they don't care who they're playing, where they're playing, record, you know, road, home, it doesn't matter. They just really get after it. So I think, you know, if teams are obviously excited to try to knock off the defending national champs, I think our guys will be ready. And they're certainly, they wouldn't be where they are if they had, lack of urgency in their system. These kids are, you know, they're great in the way they prepare and how you know, they carry themselves. And I'm excited.
Also coming this season are the new rules. Just got passed yesterday. 80-second shot clock. You have 20 seconds to clear from over midfield. The shorter substitution box, a few other things. Your thoughts on the rules and how will you guys adjust to those new rules in 2019?
I think I like them. I mean, on the onset, you know, I was someone who was a proponent of 90 seconds from possession. I think the 20-second clear is pretty good because, you know, now you don't have teams, you know, I guess slowly clearing the ball, subbing a ton. You know, it creates a little more transition. So I think that's good. 80 seconds, I think for a team like us is great. I think a team that gets out in transition, plays fast, might have to sub, you know, hurry up our subbing game a little bit. We don't know how that's going to affect. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Do we do it in transition? Do we do it when we're settled? There's a lot of questions that we'll see over the first few practices and in that Maris and Springfield scrimmage. But I think it's good. A team that plays fast like us, the crease dives back. It adds an element there offensively that I think will make our team better, but I think makes the sport better. I think it makes it easier to watch. There's a shot clock that's visible. Everybody knows what it means. And then like every other sport, when it hits zero, you know, possession's over, you know? So, it's good. You know, the guys, they've come back with a billion questions as to how we're going to do things. So we have a lot of notes written down of things that we're going to look at. And then I don't expect it to change a whole lot for us, but you don't know until you get out there. We've analyzed possession times from last season and clearing times and this and riding time. So we're as prepared as we can be without seeing it on the field yet. And once we see it on the field, yeah, I think we'll have a much better idea.
Then final question after today, what do you want people to know about Merrimack, the school?
It's a great question. I think it's, you know, I'm confident in saying that it has one of the best combinations of academics, athletics, and campuses of, you know, the teams we're going to be competing against recruiting-wise. I think that's one of the things that when kids have the ability to come up here and see the school, feel the energy, you know, see the facilities, see us practice, obviously learn more about us academically. We're a very high-end academic institution with great majors, and then you obviously cap it off with a pretty good lacrosse program, I think. So kids out there that know the name because of lacrosse or maybe know the name because of academics, I think this going to Division I announcement certainly, you know, catches the attention of those, you know, potential student athletes all over the country.
That is men's lacrosse head coach Mike Morgan entering his 12th year as the head coach of the Warriors. And coach, thank you for your time and best of luck on this next year.
Thank you, Chris.
And that was Julie Duffy and Mike Morgan of Merrimack, the women's and men's lacrosse head coaches. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope to have more interviews coming in the near future. I think I might be stopping by a Division I campus soon. Once again, make sure you check collegecross.com. Give this podcast a 5-star review on iTunes. Subscribe to it wherever you subscribe to your podcasts. Stay hydrated out there as well, because despite it being September and fall ball, it can still be hot, and stay safe as well.
Bye, Felicia.